Okay, so by popular media, so by popular request, we're going to be discussing laws of Chol HaMoed this week. And I want to start with, before we get to the laws, the Rav Melamed gives some background information about Chol HaMoed and its significance. He has a whole chapter on the mitzvot of Chol HaMoed, which I didn't include, but I took out four paragraphs that I wanted to learn with you that sort of give us a little bit of a framework, set the tone a little bit for about Chol HaMoed. Okay, so it says, Zukvar lamadnu, on the top of page 1, Shetzarich lachlok et zman ha-shabbatot v'ha-chagim, chatziv la-Hashem v'chatziv lachem. Okay, it's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that we divide our time on Shabbat and the Mo'adim, half of it for Hashem, half of it for us. Chatziv la-achila u-shtiya, v'chatziv le-beit midrash, half of it for eating and drinking, half of it for Beit Midrash, for studying. Okay, so half our time and half our time. So it's awake hours, yes. He includes Shabbat also, which is interesting. But yeah, he includes Shabbat also in that time. So half for Hashem, half for us. I'm not sure where babysitting your kids so your wife can take a nap. I'm not sure if that's La Hashem or that's Lachem. I don't know which half that falls. That falls under. It's for sure La Hashem? We should find out the answer to that question. Okay. V'imkach. Yom Tov. So on Yom Tov itself, Shemitzvah lekayem bo su'udot gedolot shorchot marav. Thank you very much, Neil. So that on Yom Tov itself, where the custom is to have long meals that take a long time. So, and there's still a mitzvah to give half the day to Hashem. Alachad kama vekama shebechol ha-moed tzarech lakdish lechol v'chol chasi yom lelimu Torah. Okay, so this is on Chol HaMoed. You should dedicate at least half the day for studying Torah. Okay, now get ready for these numbers. Get ready for these numbers. The number, or the next paragraph. Thank you very much, Dan. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiya bidvaro. Okay, so listen to these numbers. Okay, v'lachen hosifu chachamim v'asru mischar. Because that's why the chachamim forbade business on Chol HaMoed. There's no real melacha, right? It's not that much different than, let's say, turning on and off a light or something like that, right? There's not that much melacha, right? So he says no, but it's mischar alul lahatrid ulahadig, right? Businessman, right? It's true, right? Mischar alul lahatrid ulahadig. The business can sort of busy your mind. It can make you concerned, right? And v'lefko b'simchat hachag v'limut haTorah, and that's going to get in the way of the enjoying the holiday and of the studying Torah. So therefore, the Chachamim forbade doing business. Okay, according to the calculation of the day, listen to this, guys. Kitesha Shaot the Torah v'litzvila. Woo! Woo! He seems to think we're going to sleep exactly 6 hours, not anymore. Right, so you end up with 18 hours of the day, 9 hours for you, 9 hours for Hashem. That's what he says. It's really, wow.
Yeah, but can I ask a question on that? Like, let's say, like, why should we think of it as, okay, now's me time, now God time? Well, everything is all under one thing. Like, even whenever I'm eating, okay, you know, I'm eating kosher, I'm eating Mary Kippa.
Right, I'm doing this, I have energy to serve Hashem. And
not even that, like, I'm serving God, all of it. Like, why is there a difference between learning and even when I'm, in, like, talking to people, relaxing?
Right.
I'm always under the spectrum of serving God. Like, why does it have to be like, okay, now I'm in my synagogue,
now
this is my work life, this is my God life. It's always so, God life. So this can sound scary, they're like, I always have to be sitting. No, like.
If I'm not doing that, they're not really serving Hashem.
Yeah.
That's the right. Like, right,
I'm eating. I'm eating kosher. I'm saying a bracha.
Right. No, you're very good. Very good. So I.
Like this. Someone hears that. It's scary.
Yeah. So I think what you have to say is that what the Gemara means is that these are really two forms of serving Hashem. Meaning, because even the eating and drinking, for example, right? The Gemara itself acknowledges that's part of the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov,
right,
which is a mitzvah. That's a spiritual act in and of itself. But some of our religious acts, I would say, are more spiritual in nature. Some of our religious acts are more physical and sensual, so to speak. They speak to our senses, so more in nature. So what the Torah is saying, was that what the Gemara is saying is that really we have to divide our service of Hashem, so to speak, to be half. Don't mean the chiddush is don't think I should spend all my time in purely spiritual ways of serving Hashem, but I can also dedicate and I should dedicate some of my time on Yom Tov as part of allowing my senses, so to speak, to serve Hashem as well. And therefore, eating good foods, drinking good wine, taking relaxing trips and things like that, which is all part of serving Hashem, all part of Simchat Yom Tov, is. But the point is to make sure we split into those two types of serving Hashem. That's how I would approach the question. I mean, not that one's good and one's bad. It's not like you have a break from serving Hashem for half the time. It's not a break. It's all serving Hashem. But the Torah wants you to serve Hashem in the material way also on Yom Tov, to enjoy it as well. It's very interesting. The very famous thing that the Gemara says that everybody agrees that on Chag HaShavuot you need Chatzi Lachem. It means Machlok in the Gemara whether you need Chatzi Lachem or Kul LaHashem. But the Gemara says everybody agrees that on Shavuot you need Chatzi Lachem. So it says it's the day of Matan Torah. If anything, that should be the only day everybody says Kul LaHashem. So the point is because everybody brings out the idea, and obviously it's a very well known idea, and it doesn't need more elaboration of the idea of serving Hashem through the material part also. I mean through serving Hashem through our everything we have, all the kelim that we have in this world. So that's why, especially in the day that we have the Torah, we specifically have to make sure that you reinforce the fact that our material part is also serving Hashem also, and the food and the drink and everything, that's also part of our service of Hashem.
Before Rabbi Berchaim was saying how you're not supposed to have the feeling of Ge'ava, maybe you should feel that for the Torah and because you're a Jewish person.
That's the only pride that we have. Yeah. Right.
We have the Torah and
He was saying, Rabbi Berchaim was saying that's why we have bread on Shavuot.
No, the korban in the Beit Hamikdash and Shavuot was chametz. Yeah,
right.
You're not allowed to bring chametz in the Beit Hamikdash.
Right.
But maybe the second time also
right.
that we bring chametz in the korban in the Beit Hamikdash is Shavuot.
I think it's
so he said the reason is because
korban todah. I thought it was a todah also.
He was saying so the reason is so that because we have ga'ava of Torah.
Of Torah, right? That's the one thing that we take pride in. Is the Torah exactly right? But and then even on Pesach when we drink four cups of wine and we lean and we take pride and we're melachim, but we still have lechem oni, right? We still have the bread of poor man's bread to sort of keep checks and balances, so to speak, on the night of the seder, that we don't get too caught up in the greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and we realize that no, we come from humble roots, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out to serve Hashem and to do the mitzvot, but we keep in touch with our humble roots as well. So that's why specifically we have the lechem oni on the night of the seder. Okay, so let's continue. So he says that's how he comes out. Okay, so he says Yesh Hakdisha the Shavuot Chag Tishah Kedisha the Torah Utzvilah. So 9 hours for Torah and Tefillah. L'chol pachot shisha od l'Torah. So at least 6 of those hours are going to be dedicated. Of the 9 hours, at least 6 of them are going to be dedicated to studying Torah. Vim kein. V'chol ha-mo'ed sh'atfilot orchot pachot zman. So if the tefillah takes less time, if you have 9 hours, tefillah takes less time, so yesh l'akdish l'Torah, yoter mi-sheshot. Wow. Whew. Incredible. Okay? So whether or not anybody at the table is actually able to sit for 6 hours on chol ha-mo'ed and study or not, but at least this gives us a perspective, so to speak, on what the days of Chol HaMoed are meant for and how what they are meant to be used for. And he quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi here, a very famous statement in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, Ilu haya mi sheyimne imi, if I had people who would agree with me, who would join me, hitarti sheyosim melacha b'cholo shel moed, I would allow them to do melacha on Chol HaMoed. Why? He says, Klum asur laso melacha ela kadei shiyo ochlim v'shotim v'smechim v'yigeim b'torah. Why did the Chachamim say, or the Torah say, you shouldn't do any malacha, you shouldn't go to work at Chol HaMoed, you shouldn't do anything at Chol HaMoed? So you'll be free to eat, to drink, to enjoy, and to spend time studying Torah. Ve'achshav, ochlim v'shotim v'pochazim. So all they do is they eat and they drink and they party. They forgot the studying Torah part. They got the eating and drinking part very well. But they forgot the other part, the studying Torah part. So he says, so what's the point of staying home from work? You might as well go to work, get stuff done, make some money, whatever. Well, why? It's just you can sit and party all day? That's not why the Chachamim forbade Melacha. I would have allowed Melacha. That's what he says. So he says the isur of not studying Torah in Chol HaMoed is more serious than the isur of doing melacha, because he said, I'd rather they do melacha than do bitul Torah. That's what he says. Okay? I don't need to, in the next paragraph, he just re-emphasizes, because other Ma'amari Chazal are very interesting, that emphasize this idea that Moed is a time of spirituality, so to speak. It's also a time we're supposed to spend time eating and drinking and enjoying. But also, we spend time, in spiritual matters as well. We have to make sure we set aside time for studying Torah during the day, whenever we have time. You know, I was once visiting the yeshiva, actually the yeshiva that Rabbi Maruf studied at, Yeshiva B'nai Torah in Far Rockaway, and their custom is that everybody in the whole yeshiva, even if they can't get the right number of people together, they wake up, they pray nets, they study exactly till Chatzot Hayom, maybe a little bit after. They pray mincha, the early time they can pray mincha, and the rest of the day they party. That's how they do it.
I want to go here.
What about the work?
No, Chol HaMoed. I'm saying they're doing Chol HaMoed. That's their custom. That's their custom during Chol HaMoed, to fulfill this din exactly as it's meant to be. They wake up, they pray nets, and they spend exactly half the day till after Chatzot Hayom doing their thing, and the other half of the day they spend having a good time, eating, drinking, having whatever else they do. Okay, so. Night.
No.
So night is for resting, I guess. So the way they calculate is from sunrise to sunset. Rabbi Malamed is calculating waking hours.
Yeah.
So he assumes there's 18 waking hours. People are only sleeping 6 hours a night, and therefore he calculates 9 and 9. So they were calculating sunrise to sunset, maybe a little bit after sunset, whatever. Okay, good. So let's discuss a little bit about the foundations of the Isur Melacha on Chol HaMoed, okay? So there's somewhere in between the days of Chag and the days of Chol, right? Miktzat ha-melachot mutarot bahem. Miktzat ha-melachot asurot bahem. Some things are permitted, some things are forbidden. So what's going on? Let's see. Hatarayit gisha, hen b'chag ha-matzot, hen b'chag ha-sukot, shebiyom ha-rishon v'yom ha-acharon, v'ekra kodesh yelechem kol melechat avoda lo ta'asu. Okay, so the Torah tells us this rule. Kol melechat avoda lo ta'asu. Don't do any melacha avoda. In the Torah is only discussing the first day of Moed and the last day of Moed. It doesn't say anything about Chol HaMoed. Aval kevan shem nimtzaim b'tavech bein shnei hachagim. They're sort of, caught in between the first days of the Chag and the last days of the Chag. And on Sukkot, between, first day of the Chag and Shmini Atzeret. The Torah refers to these days as Mikra'e Kodesh as well, meaning the days of holy, they're designated as holy days. We bring the korbanot of the Chag on the Chol HaMoed, right? Asur lavod b'hem kefi sho'avdim b'yemei ha'chol. So you can't work the same way you do on the Chol. V'chein diku chachamim mikama psukim, sh'asur lavod b'yemei Chol HaMoed. The chachamim also, they derive from certain psukim that you can't do work on Chol HaMoed. Now it's a machloket, you can see it in the footnote, that whether or not the avodah on Chol HaMoed is asur midoraita or asur midrabanan. And many Rishonim hold that the melacha on Chol HaMoed is asur midoraita. The things you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, most of the things are not allowed to be done midoraita. Let me see if he says who. The Rabbeinu Tam. No, I'm sorry. Many people, many people say that the psukim are just asmachta ba'alma. The psukim are just like an illusion. They don't really, they're not really deriving the dinim from those psukim. They just have dinim derabanan and they connect them to the psukim. So who? Rabbeinu Tam, Rambam, Rosh, Smag, Yireim, and Tashbetz. They all hold that it's midrabanan. Rashi, Rashbam, and maybe Rif, Shiltot, Eshkol, Ritzkeat hold that it's deraita. So it's a big machloket harishonim. Whether or not the melachan Chol HaMoed is asur deraita or asur derabanan. Either way, we have to know what we're supposed to do. But the difference would be for issue of safek. If I have a situation where I have a safek whether this something is a melacha or not, if melacha on Chol HaMoed is asur derabanan, then it would be mutar. If asur on Chol HaMoed is asur deraita, then it would be asur. Safek deraita, lechumra. Safek derabanan, lekula. Okay? So it is a big machlok rishon whether it's the right or the rabbanan, but either way we have to know what the din. Okay, so look at the last sentence in this paragraph here. He says back on the first page. Ela shevdel yesh ben yom tov shabon ne'asra kol melachat avoda l'mati mechol amoy she'asrim b'miktzat melacha. Okay, anything that's called melachat avoda is going to be forbidden, and he's going to explain what that means. Okay, kechal afshar lomar shabbat kol melacha ne'asra. Okay, on Shabbat every melacha is going to be forbidden. V'yilu b'yom tov, Kol melechet avodah ne'esra. Interesting. So he learns from the word melechet avodah. Shabbat Yom Tov, we use the word melechet avodah. Not all melacha. Only the melacha that's called melechet avodah is forbidden. What is it? So what is permitted? What's not called melechet avodah? He says, "Ulam melachos she'oskot pa'acharat ha'ma'achalim miskaret beitit letzorach achilat oto hayom mutaro." So he says, anything that's involved in food preparation in the home, right, in domestic food preparation, not industrial food preparation, but domestic food preparation, so that's not called melechet avodah. That's melacha, but it's not called melechet avodah, and therefore it's going to be permitted on Yom Tov. So we know, ochel nefesh.
That's not the reason that ochel is allowed.
Okay, but I'm saying, but you're right. But I'm saying, but it the point is that when the Torah forbade melacha, it forbade melacha in a particular way to allude to the fact that you're right. But we do need the pasuk to explicitly. You're right. What you're pointing out is if the Torah never told us,
ach asher yachel chem. This is the best example to illustrate what he's saying because we have a different reason that.
I don't think you're saying these are not mutually exclusive reasons.
Paper.
I'm sorry?
Toilet paper. Can you read toilet paper?
On Yom Tov? On Chol HaMoed, yes. On Chol HaMoed, we'll see. It's any very simple melacha.
I don't know what's
the difference. So we have to find out what the difference is. But Yom Tov, no. Yom Tov,
no, like the
only...
The days of Chag or the middle, the Chol HaMoed, you're asking.
What do you ask? The whole Chag.
Chol HaMoed, you can touch your phone.
Okay. You could do simple things, which we'll see. We could do simple things. On the Yom Tov itself, the only things that are permitted are things that are for food purposes. And certain things that are allowed for food, they allowed for non-food purposes also, like carrying and cooking. You know, certain things are allowed for some non-food purposes as well.
Ripping?
So ripping is, as far as I know, is not any more permitted on Yom Tov itself than it is on Shabbat. I mean, it's not considered to be part of the Ochad, as far as I know.
Just to clarify, he's talking about cooking on Chag. That's what he's saying. Cooking on Chag is
just talking
about cooking on Chag.
Yeah, cooking
on Chag. Those bounty papers that people use in the kitchen.
The paper towels, you're saying. Yes, as far as I know, Yom Tov, Chag itself, is the same as Shabbat. Just like you wouldn't do it on Shabbat, you wouldn't do it on Yom Tov. You would before Shabbat, before Yom Tov.
Bottom line, besides work, is there anything we can't do on Chol HaMoed?
We'll get to it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're here for. Yeah, laundry, shaving, writing, all
writing.
That's what we have a whole chapter on Ketivah here. Certain cases, yes. Certain cases, no. But yeah, you can't write wantonly on every all the 39 melacha, whatever it is. Meaning, food preparation is okay, but things that are not food preparation. So let's dig.
In your journal, it's okay.
I don't know. It's just writing.
Let's dig. If we don't finish, if we don't get it towards the end, then we'll hopefully come back to it. Okay,
no,
remind me.
Checks.
What?
No
writing checks.
Like
it depends what you're writing checks for. It depends. Okay. We'll see. Okay. Anyways, so he says that. So Yom Tov is only melachat avodah. So food preparation is permitted. Uvechol ha'moed nezru melachot upulot. Sheyesh ben tircha meinan miyuadot letzorchei hachag o letzorech davar ha'aved. So they forbade things, and we're going to get to this in more detail. Actions that are yesh ben tircha, they take effort, they require effort to do, and they're not set aside for the purposes of the chag or for monetary loss. Okay, we'll get to this in a few minutes. But the heterim are things that are necessary for the chag, things that are gonna cause a person loss to his principal. Those are the cases where they did allow melacha, but in other cases they did not allow melacha. Okay, so he says. Okay, so without going to the next paragraph, there's a question whether or not it's deraita, whether or not it's derabanan that we spoke about briefly. Okay. And then the next paragraph, the last line, he says, "Hasem melacha b'chol hamoed b'yisur nechshav kimevazet hamoedot." If you don't take chol hamoed seriously, you do melacha on chol hamoed without a purpose. He says, "Mevazet hamoedot." It's like you're disgracing the moed, disgracing the holiday. Ve'ein lo chelak la'olam haba. Doesn't sound so good. Ein lo chelak la'olam haba. Okay, you don't want to be mevazeh the moed, right? That's why we have to know what we're allowed to do, we're not allowed to do on the moed, so that we don't chas v'shalom fall into this category of mevazeh et ha-moedot, right? Okay.
What does it mean mevazeh, exactly? Like, what is he trying to say?
Well, it's disrespectful to the Moed. I mean, if you treat it like any other day of the week, and you don't keep in mind that there are certain things I'm supposed to be doing today, certain things I'm not supposed to be doing today, so then that's disrespectful to the Moed itself. And then whatever the consequences are of being disrespectful to the Moed. Okay, and then anyway, so the last thing here, it says on the top of the second page, you're not allowed to get any benefit from them. If you did melacha b'yisur, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. But for other people who are not part of his household, they can get benefit from it. Oh my goodness. So somebody who do melacha on chol ha-moed, the Beit Din, when they had the ability to, they would destroy whatever he produced during the chol ha-moed. Okay, so let's get into the rules, okay? Otbet, what are the rules? Then we're going to discuss general rules, and then we're going to discuss some of the specifics of melacha on chol ha-moed, okay? Klalei ha-asur v'hamutar. So what are the rules? So he says, we're in paragraph bet here. Yisur ha-melacha v'chol ha-moed, we're on page 2. No'ai k'dei sh'niyeh p'nuyim l'simchat ha-chag b'limutara v'sudot. So the reason why they forbade the melacha is that we'll be free to study Torah and to eat our special Yom Tov meals. And many people, I'm sure Daniel's going to be doing this in the Mahadran and where he's going to be. But many people have special meals in wherever they are on Chol HaMoed. They make sure to eat bread, they make sure to eat meat, they make sure to drink wine on Chol HaMoed. Just like this mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov, the mitzvah of Simcha on Chol HaMoed also. So people, you know, they buy things they don't normally buy in honor of the Chag Chol HaMoed. Okay? So, ולכן הכלל היסודי הוא שמלאכה שיש בה תורך asura. A malacha that requires a lot of effort is going to be asur. And shnei mashmaoyot l'torach. There are two categories of effort on chol ha-moed that are going to be forbidden. Number one, she'asiyat ha-malacha orechet zman. Things that take a long time, things that are time-consuming, we'll see some examples soon, are going to be forbidden. And number two, she'doreshet rikuz. It requires concentration. V'lachen malachet uman asura gam kishi orechet zman katsar.
Not physical strength? Torach is not like...
Well, most of those things would probably fall into the first category of orech hazman, meaning if you're moving a couch, it takes dedication of time to move a heavy couch from one side to the other. But you're right, that would be included in Torah. I didn't include, but he has a chapter on moving heavy things on Chol HaMoed. You could look in there. What?
I just said like really.
Yeah. Okay. Aval melacha shenaseit below Torah. Mutar, something that doesn't require effort is mutar. Even if it's not for the moed, for example, mutar lasir gav shushit me'aritzpa me'akir. I'm not sure exactly. You have some sort of like plaster or some sticky material that's stuck to the floor or to the wall, and somehow is an improvement in the space when you remove it. So even though you don't need it for the moed, right? Gam kishinim said becheder shein mishtamshim bo b'chag. I don't need it. It's not going to be done with much effort. Another example. Let's say somebody enjoys photography. So he wants to take pictures. He's a recreational photographer. So whatever he's doing, he doesn't need for the Moed. Right? He doesn't need it. But he wants to do it. And he can take these pictures afterwards also. He'll be there afterwards also. But nevertheless, it's no tircha at all. It doesn't fall into one of these two categories. Therefore, it never was forbidden on Chol HaMoed. V'chein mutar la'lik gafurur or below shum tzorich. I could flip on a light on and off. I could light a match. Even though I don't need it for anything, I don't need l'tzorich HaMoed. All these things are going to be permitted. So I presume, you know, using your phone, things like that also, and if it's not l'tzorich HaMoed, is going to be considered very low-level malacha. There's no tircha, neither in time, nor in effort, nor in concentration. Therefore, it's going to be permitted. V'chein mutar la'tzet l'rishut harabim. Let's say I'm carrying things. So one of the 39 melachot is carrying things. So you know, on the Chol HaMoed, I can carry things because there's no necessity for it at all. It doesn't make a difference. There's no torach at all in any ways. Therefore, it's going to be permitted. Okay, so that's category. Those are the two basic times when melacha is forbidden. Now let's see, when do they permit those categories? So let's see. Uletzorech HaMoed, if I need it for the holiday itself. Mutar la'asom melachot shorachot zman. I'm allowed to do things that take time. For example, kigon l'mashal, katif perot, seidat chayot v'dagim, tchinat chitim, tchitat perot, varizat mazon v'sakiot kusod l'sorach shivuko v'chanayot. So he says, if I want to, let's say, take some fruit, I want to go harvest some fruit from the orchard, I want to hunting, trapping, grinding grain, squeezing fruits, packaging foods to sell in stores for the tzorech of the moed, all those things are considered to be tzorech moed, and never, even though these are time-consuming actions, they're going to be permitted. They won't be forbidden. V'chein mutar la'asom melachot shenoadu l'shar tzorchei ha'adam b'moed, kigon tikkun chalon v'shakor nechnas l'darko. So let's say I have a window where there's a breeze coming in, right? There's a draft coming in, and I want to close it up. So it's going to be mutar. I'm allowed to do that on even though it's something that takes time, right? But l'tzorech ha'moed, it's going to be permitted. Now melachat uman may be different. If it's something that requires expertise, so that's a different story. Like for example, let's say I need major mechanical repairs on something, right? That's melachat uman. So that's going to be presumably under most circumstances forbidden on chol ha'moed. Even if it's l'tzorech ha'moed, that's going to be forbidden. Yes, Tomer, how can I help you?
Okay.
Looks so
like you're going to ask a question.
Or you're, at least you were intrigued by something I said.
No.
Okay. V'chein mutar.
Sorry.
No problem.
It wasn't interesting.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. V'chein mutar la'asot melacha shenoada limnoa hefsed. Oh, and I'm also allowed to do melacha to lose loss, to avoid loss to capital. V'heter zeh nikra melacha tavar ha'aved. It's tavar ha'aved. I'm going to lose something. V'af heter zeh u'letzorech ha'moed mipnei shekasheh lo shechoshesh mehefsed l'tzorech ha'moed. Even this is related to tzorech ha'moed, because it can be very distressing to somebody that he's going to lose something. Yes.
Let's say like, someone has a business and
yeah,
they have a customer calling them and if they don't service their customer, they'll call someone else and they'll lose the business.
And it might lead to future business also.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Muslims do discuss that case. I don't remember offhand what they say, but they do discuss that case. But let's say I had.
You're not going to lose anything today,
right? And also, I'm not losing anything in my principal. I'm just losing. It's called miniat revach. I'm losing profits in the future.
Yeah.
That's going to be different. But let's say I own a diamond and it's worth $10,000, right? And there's a show going on in town, and I know there's a lot of really good buyers here who are going to buy my diamond for $10,000. But if I wait till after the moed, so I'm only going to be able to make, sell this for like $8,000 or $8,500 or something like that. So that's called davar ha'aved, because now my principal is decreasing in value. It's not that if I don't work today, I'm not going to get paid and I'm losing my profit. I'm losing my my profits. It's here I have a principal which is going to be losing value if I don't take advantage of it today.
When did that ever happen?
Well, I mean, if there's a show on Chol HaMoed,
your diamonds don't decrease in value.
No, if I know buyers are coming, let's say buyers are coming in from
the diamond goes down.
I mean, I know that there are buyers coming, let's say, from China, and I know the buyers in China are willing to pay, 10%, 15% more than what I could sell it for in the market here.
Right.
So then, today it's worth $10,000 because there's a show going on. Tomorrow it's worth $8,500 because the show's over and the people have left. So then I'm losing in my principal. That's called davar haved, and then it would be allowed. But if I'm not losing in my principal,
you can exhibit at a show.
In a circumstance where you evaluate, that's what it seems like from here, in a circumstance where a person evaluates that he's going to lose from his principal, one thing I'm not sure about is, let's say my profit is going to change. Meaning, let's say my profit is going to go from being, a $3,000 profit to a $2,000 profit. I'm not sure if that's called, I don't know, I have to investigate that more, where that's called davar haved. But definitely if I'm going to take a loss on my principal, then for sure that's going to be.
Let's say you anticipate that your customers will call you, so can you go to work?
In a situation where I anticipate, that relates to that other question, meaning that if I'm going to lose this customer for future business, and that's why. Yeah. But let's say I'm not going to lose future business. It's just a question of right now. So then it's a question of whether or not this diamond is going to change in value between selling it to this customer and selling it to somebody else after the moed. That's the issue.
So can you go to work in anticipation of something like this happening?
If a person already anticipates from the, if he has a reason to suspect that he's going to have davar ha'aved,
yeah, then, somebody's going to call him for a diamond.
Yeah, if it's davar ha'aved, as long as okay. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how to define davar ha'aved, but I'm saying however we define davar ha'aved. So I presume it would be.
We said ma'asel man is a sur only if you're doing it for after.
No. Even Torah Hamoed. Let's see. He's going to say these. In the next paragraph, he's going to say the five categories. I'm curious to see if what Rambam says about this. But he's going to say the five categories in the next paragraph. Okay, so let's see. So he says lemaaseh. So let's in practice. Yishna b'chol moed chamisha sugei heterim. There are five categories of times when melacha is going to be permitted on Chol Hamoed. Aleph. Letzorach ma'achalei achav hutra gam melacha tuma. So if it's for purposes of preparing food for the chag, even expertise, right? So let's say shechita requires expertise. Let's say taking out the gid hanasheh from a piece of meat, so that would require expertise, right? All these things that require expertise, if it's for purposes of food for the chag, then it's going to be permitted. Bet l'shar tzorchei hamoed hutra melachat hadyot. If it's for another use of the chag, another tzorach hamoed, then only simple things. But if I need an expert mechanic, let's say, or an expert worksman to do something for Torah HaMoed, that's not going to be permitted.
Torah HaMoed, could that be like, I want to use this on the Chag?
I think so. I think that's Torah HaMoed, yeah. It's something that's going to enhance my Simchat Yom Tov.
Like my couching, fixing, whatever, let's say.
Yeah, so if it's not Melech HaTumad, and I want to sit on this couch on the Chol Moed, and it's going to detract from my Simchat Yom Tov. I can't use this couch on the... So now that's called Tzorach
HaChag. Tzorach HaMoed is basically, it's very loose. It's very loosely defined.
I think so. I mean, again, it has to be things that you genuinely are going to use for the Moed. And Melechat Uman is not permitted either, but yeah, but it seems to be that. That's what it is. Right. Okay. Gimel. L'misha in ma'alecho mutar lavod keragil k'deish yuchalik no tzorcheich su'dat chag. Somebody who mamash doesn't have food to buy food for Yom Tov... So then he's allowed to do a work as keragil, regularly. Number four, letzorach davar ha'aved hutra melecha tuman. If I have davar ha'aved, right, let's say I have some sort of mechanical device, right? And it's operating, and it needs to keep operating. Let's say, for example, this would be an example. Let's say I have, what's it called, like a sump pump or something. Like they have, like, underneath a lot of places where they live in with a lot of... saturation in the ground, they have pumps underneath the house. Actually, I think this building actually has underneath it. It has pumps that operate to pump out the water so that it doesn't collect and doesn't cause flooding inside the building. So let's say my sub pump, I think it's called a sump pump or something like that. Let's say it breaks down Yom Tov. So it's Melechat Uman. I definitely need an expert to come and fix it, right? But if I don't fix it, so then there's going to be flooding. I'm going to have to change these floors. It's going to be a major davar haved. That's for sure davar haved. No question, right? So then in that case, I would be allowed to have even melacha tuman. Even if I had to bring in a professional, an expert, in order to fix it on the moed, that would be permitted.
This list you're reading is Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed?
Chol HaMoed. It's all Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov, only thing that's permitted is Tzorach Ochal Nefesh, and certain melachot which were permitted for Ochal Nefesh were also permitted for non-Ochal Nefesh. But that's all that's going to be permitted.
Let's say, like, going shopping.
So if you're buying things for the Moed, so then it'll be okay.
So you're buying things for afterwards, but it's not a Torah at all. It's a pleasure to go shopping.
Yeah, but I think Masa Umatan, I think business matters is sort of independent of the prohibition of Torah, I think.
Basically, if you want to go shopping, like, let's say you want to buy clothing, you should wear it on the Chag.
Yeah, you could buy if you need a shirt for the Chag. If I have 10 other shirts,
you're in Miami, you want to go to Lincoln Mall, Lincoln Road, you could shop around.
I think if you have like 5 other shirts for the Chag, I don't think it's called Tzorach HaMoed. I don't think so. Yeah. Unless it's on sale, so then maybe it's davar ha'aved. I mean, if you're going to buy a shirt anyways, and it's on sale, then maybe it's davar ha'aved.
You have a wife, it's going to be tircha to go shopping.
What about like getting an ice cream? She's like, oh, it's for Tzorach HaMoed, I want to eat it.
That's for sure Tzorach HaMoed. Mm-hmm.
So basically, yeah. You could use any money is technically could be okay.
No, but again, going to buy myself a table for next week or something, buying myself chairs for after the chag, and that's not Tzorach HaMoed. And it has to be things.
Sitting them for 10 seconds each.
No, but again, I think Tzorach HaMoed has to be Tzorach HaMoed, meaning if I have something else I could use just as well, then I don't think it's called Tzorach HaMoed anymore.
But a sale, if there's a sale.
So I know in Hilchot Avilut.
That's something you won't see.
I know in Hilchot Avilut that's called Davar HaAved. I'm not sure if it applies to Chol HaMoed. I'm not sure if the rules are the same between Chol HaMoed and Avilut, or the rules are different to Chol HaMoed and Avilut. But I know, let's say, for example, let's say Shavuot Shachar. let's say from Rosh Chodesh Av, right? So from Rosh Chodesh Av, the custom is not to go shopping,
so
right?
During that
but if
time,
you have during that time, if you have a sale, so then you can buy
like
things.
You're in a new area, and if you don't go to these shops, you won't get to go to the shops, and you might miss something you really like.
He's saying Enosin Chorabam is Rambam, Enosin Chorabam Ed, Benin Kor Benin Knot, Vimayadabar Havet, Shenoma Suit Hamid La Haram Oed, Hegon Sfinoto Sheroshe Bam Oshe.
Right, that's the example I gave, right?
Like boats?
Yeah.
Meaning the people come, right, let's say I have a supplier, right? And today, either Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of international trade things. But in times of the Gemara, times of Rambam, so listen, there's a show this week. So my suppliers are coming in. If I don't buy it today, then I'm not seeing the supply for the next month, for the next 2 months.
Even if he's coming back in a few months, he says she'eno matzui tamid la'achar ha'moed. Meaning it's not something that's always there.
Right. Okay.
Then it'll be mutar.
But so let's say you're in Miami. I'm not always in Miami.
But again, I don't know if that's, I mean, definitely for my business, meaning that's the Dabar HaAved. I don't know if Stam there's this...
He's saying Schora.
Right, so yeah, I think so. It's merchandise. Yeah, so I'm not sure if it's specifically... I don't know, because if I don't get this shirt, so what? Meaning, if I don't buy the shirt, so what? I mean, if I don't buy the merchandise, and then I don't have my supplies for my business, if I don't buy this shirt in whatever, Lincoln, whatever, so then,
he even says again, umachru bezol, olachru beyoker, right? Meaning, it's even a sale.
Yeah, a sale. Right. But I think that's, yeah.
Yavka says a sale is allowed to buy, but is that
right
for business?
Yeah, or something that I have to buy anyways. Meaning, let's say, I need a shirt. My shirts are worn out. I need a shirt anyways.
Right. Sorach HaMoed is for sure mutar.
No, but see, even if I don't need, let's say I don't need a shirt now. Let's say I need a shirt for after the Moed. But I need a shirt. I'm not buying it just for fun. I have 10 shirts. I like to have 11 shirts. I need a shirt. I'm saying so. Then maybe that would also be good. And I'm going to be buying the shirt. I'm either buying the shirt today or I'm buying the shirt after the Moed. If I buy it now, then it's 25.
An example of chairs.
If it was, the chairs are on sale,
on sale.
I'm saying so if the chairs are at 25 today and they're going to be 50 after the Moed, that's the Dabar HaAved. Okay, let's do some more. Okay, fine. And then he says, the last paragraph, he says that you should know that it's very... And then, hey, the tzorchei rabim, shim lo yasum mechol ha-moed, yitkashu la'asotam bizman acher, hutra melechet hadiyot. So he says, and if it's for the tzorchei rabim, for the needs of the rabim, so then, and if I don't do it now, it's mivar to do it later, so then you can do it now. Okay, melechet hadiyot. Fine. Those are the five categories of melacha that's permitted. Okay, anyway, so he says in the next paragraph, you should know that the halachot ha-cholamim are very complex, very complicated, so you really have to learn all of them. Really know what's going on. Okay, let's talk about shaving, haircuts, okay? Now, this is a different category.
Are you not like exercise, like play sports or work out?
I think that's Sorach HaMoed, I think. If something you enjoy, so if you're doing it... First of all, I don't...
You gotta do that on Shabbat even.
Yeah, I mean...
Really?
Sports? I think...
No!
Why not?
It depends why a person is doing it.
For the sake of you can't exercise. You're a lot of...
Look at Siman Shin Aleph. He discusses these types of things, of exerting oneself for different things. On Shabbat for health reasons.
Rabbi once said he quoted out of Shulchan Aruch. He's like habanim people who like to. It's like fun for them to run. They're allowed. So he's like if it's enjoyable for you, like these like exerting things,
really?
it's okay. But like, at the same time, like
I think it's I think that's in Siman Shin Aleph.
At the same time, it's like the inyan of like, are you doing it because like for health and.
I don't know. Some guys in my yeshiva were like playing ball on Shabbat. My rabbi went crazy.
What did he say? Why is it not sure?
He bugged out.
Well, he probably thought it was on Shabbat. He probably thought it wasn't respectful to Shabbat.
That's what they usually say, like in yeshiva. It's like zilzul Shabbat.
Yeah, so that's what
they say. You're gonna be sweaty after. You can't really shower. Only with freezing cold water. True, only.
Well, even free cold water on Shabbat could be problematic. I don't know, whatever. Fine. More for Ashkenazi than the first word. Okay, that's a separate question. Okay. Anyways, shaving, okay? So he says, since it's a mitzvah, okay, so he says the following, okay, we'll do some of this outside because we're running low on time. So he says, since it's a mitzvah to shave and to get a haircut in honor of Yom Tov, which you might have to do that this week, right? In honor of Yom Tov, right? So the Chachamim made a gzera and said, even though it's not melechet uman and it's a tzorach ha-moed, right? Because it will enhance my appearance for the moed. It's not melechet uman, right? I don't need an expert to shave me, right? So since it, you know, it's not melechet uman, but the chachamim still said that they were afraid that if they would allow you to do it on the chol ha-moed, that people wouldn't do it before Yom Tov. They pushed off to do it, doing it during Yom Tov, and therefore they made a gzera derabanan. Even if you have melacha on chol ha-moed doraita, this is only an isur derabanan of shaving on Yom Tov.
What about before the second Yom Tov?
That's the thing. During chol ha-moed, they were afraid that people. So they're afraid that if they allowed you to shave during chol ha-moed, then people wouldn't shave before, and they'll just push off shaving until Chol HaMoed.
But I'm saying that someone shaves right before
Chag. Okay, good. Okay, now.
And then 1 week later. Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. So we'll get to that. Okay, fine. So now there are certain cases like for example, let's say, look on page 3. The Avar, right? In the past. Hekilu Chachamim, l'misha ba b'shi'ara b'medinat hayam, samuch l'chag v'lo hayta lo shahut l'istaper. So he says that, let's say somebody is coming from, he's traveling, right? So he wasn't, so you couldn't like, it wasn't like the electric shaver, you shave wherever you want. He was traveling from somewhere far away, and he didn't have a barber, access to a barber, and he comes in, he's really disheveled, and he only arrives on Chol HaMoed. So they allowed him, she's tapar, but Chol HaMoed, but Sina, he could do it privately. Today, people don't travel for 3 months, 4 months like they used to. You can find a barber wherever you are. You'll find somebody to cut your hair. Somebody who got lost, like in a desert or something, which is really scary, and he only got free. Man, maybe he was taken captive or something. I don't know. And he only got free on Chol HaMoed, so then he's allowed to. Okay. Actually, before I get to the footnote, which is the whole discussion, Biyaminu. Okay, so we'll say some of the sources outside, and then we'll see this paragraph Biyaminu. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam holds almost all the Rishonim argue. Rabbeinu Tam holds similar to what Yossi said, that why did they say you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed? Because maybe you won't shave before. So Rabbeinu Tam says, okay, fine, but if I did shave before, so then you're allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Almost all the Rishonim argue on Rabbeinu Tam, and the halacha is not like Rabbeinu Tam. However, many poskim wanted to say the following. And as Sean pointed out, Moshe Feinstein mentions this. At the end, he seems to say it's correct, but he doesn't seem to hold it himself, the maskana, but he says if somebody does it, you don't have to make a big deal about it. He says that if a person does it, there's what to rely on. So they say the following. They say that today, when people shave every day or every other day, so then the amount of hair, so to speak, that I have on Chol HaMoed is not something that I could have removed before Chol HaMoed, because it wasn't there yet. In the times of the Gemara, they shaved every few days, every 6, 7, 8 days, something like that. They would trim their beards, they would fix themselves up. So then, once I shaved before the Moed, so there's nothing to talk about during Chol HaMoed. But today, when people shave much more frequently, so then there are those poskim who do allow such a thing, and he quotes here, Ayin Bigrot, I'm looking in the footnote here. He says, Ayin Bigrot Moshe, Shkatab Bishnat, that he says that Ein Baze Isur, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Siach Nachum, I don't know who that is, Mes Nachum Rabbanavish, I don't know who it is, and they also say in the name of Soloveitchik, that it's not only that you're allowed to, but it's a mitzvah to shave during Chol HaMoed, because if you can make yourself look better for the Moed, in honor of the Moed, not only are you allowed to, but it's a mitzvah to do it. However, on the other hand, many people are a machmir. He quotes Divrei Yisrael, Shmei Shabbat Kilchata, Biskei Tshuvot, and Chazon Avadia. Mar Avadia Yosef leans on the side of being machmir. So, however, Rav Malamed says that since it's only Yisur Midrabanan to begin with, so since it's a machulk and a poskim, he thinks there's room to be lenient, maybe even should. He says, I'll read you the end of the note here. He says, Ela shehoilu gzirat tisport midivrei chachamim, ve'af yishnuya b'machloket. It's a machloket whether or not this is going to be forbidden or not. It's only midrabanan to begin with. U'mineged mitzvah me'atara lechabed et chagat b'ksud na'e, ve'lo levazoto b'zifezaken, shenirim kisiman avilut. It's a bizayon for Yom Tov to go into the Yom Tov with, these hairs on your face that makes it look like a person is in avilut. Yesh l'rosh mitzvah litkalech b'chol ha'moed. He thinks the appropriate psak is he should teach people that it's a mitzvah to shave on chol ha'moed. Uvim yuchad lekrat Shabbat v'chag, especially in honor of the Shabbat and the Chag. However, elashim ha'av noheg v'hachmir. But if the father is accustomed to be machmir and he wants the son to follow the custom as well, it is correct that the son should continue in the minhag of the father. Why? The mitzvah of kibud horim is very, very great in this circumstances. So, yesh tadim lekano lekan. Rav Malami thinks a person should shave, not only can he shave, he should shave during Chol HaMoed. Rav Avadia says that a person, he leans towards the more strict opinion. I know Rav Ben Chaim does shave during Chol HaMoed Sukkot. I believe he does not shave during Chol HaMoed Pesach because Sfirat HaOmer. And because there's an inyan of not shaving during the Sfirat HaOmer, so he thinks that value overrides whatever value is of the Simcha, the Kavod Yom Tov, and therefore he shaves on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, not on Chol HaMoed Pesach, based on this tshuva of Igrot Moshe.
So generally, during Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do things you're not allowed to do during the Omer, like go to a concert.
So that's a machloket poskim. I think most poskim allow that they hold the nihugei avelut of Sfirat HaOmer do not begin until after. Of course, every year, they still have it, they probably don't have it anymore. There used to be a big concert in the Fountain Blue every year, one night of Chol HaMoed. But yeah. they still have it?
That's not a Makor.
What?
What does that have to do with Halacha?
No. Avram Fried, Daddy, yeah, every year during Chol HaMoed, they used to have it. Because Lasco Tours used to run the program. In the
now they have a matzo ball, it's like a DJ.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I won't be there. You'll be there?
I'm gonna be in Seacoast.
Seacoast, okay, nearby. Okay. It's a Seacoast is a much more low key environment to be Okay. So let's talk about laundry a little bit. We have like 3-5 minutes unless we're not gonna get minyan for our feet here, are we?
No.
We're pretty close. When?
No, they're gonna have it during having a shiuros upstairs.
They're going to have minyan there?
It's not guaranteed at all. But can we skip the laundry thing? Because none of us do laundry. Let's do other things that could be.
Okay, so let's do writing. Let's talk about writing. Yeah. Okay, page 5. Let's do our writing a little bit. Ironing. So he says here, he actually said that, he says, Yehutz Beiti Mutar. Ironing for in your home, is that, like on a commercial scale, it's not, but at home it's going to be okay.
This is Yom Tov.
No, Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov for sure not, because you can't use electricity on Yom Tov. B'chol HaMoed. Okay. K'chol HaMelachot gam k'tivah asura b'chol HaMoed. L'fichach asur l'chtov sifrei Torah, tefillin mezuzot, v'afilu, because those are all probably melechat uman, v'afilu otachat asur l'chtov, even one letter. V'chil asur l'chtov mismachim, mishpatiim v'cheshmon asakim, business things, you can't write on Yom Tov.
So you're allowed to work on Yom Tov?
Says you can't.
Yom Tov. No, I'm sorry. Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to write business papers and mishpatim. That's what he says.
So, why are you allowed to go to work?
Avodot u'milchanim.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe behafsid, maybe makom hafsid. They allowed malacha b'makom hafsid, so maybe they allowed writing also. Yeah.
Okay.
So he says, "Afilu torech ha-moed, asur lichtov kederech uman." Even for purposes of moed, you're not allowed to write in a uman type of way.
That's like a lawyer drafting up a
no, or like calligraphy. Calligraphy is. It seems like
according to this, it's only he says the reason. Rambam says, "Shektivot en adam nizhar b'tikunan." He says you're not allowed to do sefer Torah and tefillin and mezuzah, but then he says.
I assume he means that's Malach HaRuman, no?
He doesn't say Malach HaRuman. He says, Mutar l'chitov igrot shilat shalom.
Yes, we're going to get that, yes.
V'chotev cheshponot umchadev etziotav shechitivot elo en adam nizhar b'tikunan. You're not so particular with the way that
you're doing it. Interesting. Okay, so he says here, not like that. He says that for business, right, but he says for business writings, it's going to be forbidden as well. Okay? So he says, "Avu l'tzorech ha-moed asur l'chtov k'derech uman." Even if it's for purpose of the moed, you can't write in a very professional way. Hayne b'otiyot merubaot. Let's say you're writing in block script, right? People don't usually write in block in Hebrew letters, but that would be forbidden. Avu b'ktav ragil toch hitamtzut liyasher et haktav oliyapoto. But writing in a very particular way to make my writing very, very nice, very, very pretty, that's going to be forbidden. Even l'tzorech ha-moed.
You can't write, or you can't write pretty.
you can't write pretty even l'tzorach hamoed. If it's l'tzorach hamoed and you're writing just dam, then he says that's okay. Aval mutar l'chtov k'derech hadyo l'tzorach hamoed. Therefore, if I want to buy something for, let's say I want to buy food for the moed, I could write a shopping list. And if I want to go shopping for the moed, I could use my regular handwriting, and if as long as I'm very particular, to put together a shopping list for the moed.
The package is delivered to you. Can you sign for it?
I would try to write in a non uman type of way.
You just write your signature.
Yeah. Is that Tzorech HaMoed?
A package will be delivered to you.
If it's something you need for the Moed, and he's only going to give it to you if you sign, so then for sure.
It's like you don't need it for the Moed, it's just like a package you've been waiting for.
I don't know. If it's Davar HaAved, if you're going to have to, let's say, spend money trying to get it back, whatever, so then time, whatever, then that's Davar HaAved.
It goes in a way.
Sign sloppily.
Okay.
Okay,
so then he says, you're also allowed to write a letter to your friend. That's all the Tzorech Moed, because you're my best simcha v'yedidut, as long as you don't do it specifically during the Moed. And if he wants to write letters for your friends, don't push it off specifically to the Moed. Only if this is the time that you decide that you want to do it, so then you can do it. But don't specifically leave it for Chol HaMoed. If you want to give a letter to your friend, you could write, let's say, you know, a nice thing on an inscription. If you want to give him a book, that's okay.
But writing is serious.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Serious.
Because it's melacha. Because it's melacha. But again, if you're writing in a non uman type of way, so then the Tzorech HaMoed is. Meaning, if you're not doing it in a very particular, fancy way, so the Tzorech HaMoed, it's going to be just like any other melacha, the Tzorech HaMoed.
What about
is
typing?
Okay, so then he says, okay, I'm gonna hope we get a minyan.
No texting.
I'm gonna hope we get a minyan upstairs. Okay.
No,
so he's
searching. What about texting? What about
Google
typing?
Searches.
So let's see. So he says, "Gam k'tiva b'machshev nechshevet k'melachet hedyot." That's melachet hedyot. Lefiach mutar l'chtov reshimat k'niyot b'machshev. I can type my shopping list. And the shlach misron be telephone. I guess I can send a message on my phone or mechta video bedor electronic. But kol sheino l'tzorach hamoed asur shgam melachat hadiot asura shelo l'tzorach hamoed. So you shouldn't type things even on your phone.
You can't say hello to someone.
That's tzorach hamoed. You're saying hello to somebody, but you're saying stam. It's like writing mechta vididut. What do you mean?
You need it for whatever you're doing that day.
Me, I want to say hi. I get Simchat Yom Tov by connecting with this person.
So you say you can do everything. This is the way to
No, but
everything.
I'm saying, because I can't, you know, make a list of, you know, stocks I want to buy after Yom Tov, for example. Or like, you know, type in, yeah, or type in things, yeah, type in, typing for business, typing, that's not, if it's something that's going to bring me Simchat Yom Tov, school paper, yes, unless it's Davar HaAved in some way. I mean, unless you can work it out to be Davar HaAved. But if it's paper for school, and it's not Davar HaAved, it's not Simchat Yom Tov. I don't think anybody gets Simchat Yom Tov by writing school papers. I certainly don't. I have a final actually due 2 days after Pesach, and I'm trying to do as much of it before Yom Tov as I can. But I don't get any Simchat Yom Tov by writing social work papers on the Moed.
Sure.
So,
do it during your God hours.
Okay, also somebody's writing Torah, he wants to write down his Chidushi Torah, he writes down notes on the Torah, he says that's going to be, it's going to help him in his learning, that's Tzorech Mitzvah, is going to be Mutar. And what about printing? What about a printer? So some people say that's Melechet Uman, even though the pressing the button to print is very simple, but the product is a very nice product. So the question is, do we follow the action that you need to do to print?
No,
do we follow
the
product?
The printer is a machine, it's not a man.
But if you do an act that creates something which is a very professional looking thing that you need an expert in order to actually do that by hand, so then that's called melech. So maybe that's melech atuman. So he says lechatzichila, you should be machmir not to print on chol hamoed. Okay, ideally you should try not to print, but again, if there's a need. Okay, so Rabbi, what's the Arvit story? What's the Oh,
upstairs,
if everybody here is willing to stay, we probably can get 3 people from upstairs.